Hey Trailblazers, this is Jason, your host of the Trailblazing Texas podcast. Before we jump into our latest episode, I've got some incredible news for you. Are you gearing up for your next big hike or backpacking trip? Well, we at Trailblazing Texas podcast have partnered up with Trekker Joe's, the ultimate Texas outfitter, to bring you something I feel absolutely special. Listeners, you of the Trailblazing Texas podcast can now get a one-time 15% off their gear purchases at Trekker Joe's. That's right. Whether you're a first-time customer at Trekker Joe's or a repeat customer like me, you can save big and hit the trails well-prepared. So upon checkout, use code TTP15 to claim your 15% discount and in the process support an amazing local Texas business. So happy trails, and don't forget to tell your hiking buddies. Now on with the episode. Welcome to the Trailblazing Texas podcast, where we embark on a journey through our diverse Texas landscapes and breathtaking trails while always engaging with our amazing Texas hiking community. So settle in, tighten up those bootlaces, and get ready for the thrilling tales awaiting for you on this episode. So with that being said, what has been the most unexpectedly rewarding part of building Kula Cloth?
Really, for me, I think it's just been the people that it has connected me with. I was, before Kula Cloth, I would consider myself somewhat of a negative person, like a complainer. If there was a group of people complaining about something, I was probably in the middle of it. And I knew that that wasn't really who I was. And I saw that there were people out there who were very creative and adventurous and interested in the same things that I was interested in. But for some reason, and I think it's probably because of my extreme negativity, I didn't necessarily like have those people in my life. And now when I sort of look around at the people that I'm friends with, the opportunities that I've had to meet people from all walks of life and the opportunity to connect with them, I think that's been really the most meaningful part. And I think that it has to be, because just creating something just to create a thing and make some money, at the end of the day, that doesn't leave me feeling very fulfilled. But what does leave me feeling fulfilled is knowing that I've had an impact on somebody's life in a positive way. And so that has been, I think as I created the brand, that wasn't necessarily what I was thinking would end up happening, because I was so focused on the product itself. But now as I look at what I've done, none of it would have meaning if it weren't for the people who were there.
This is going to be kind of a two-part question, and I'd like to get your answer when you first introduced Kula Cloth until kind of now. And so how did the outdoor community react when Kula Cloth was first introduced? And then how do you see, has that changed? And how do you see now the outdoor community with the Kula Cloth?
When I first introduced it, I feel like there was a group of people who immediately jumped on board because they knew exactly the problem that Kula was solving, which was the problem of knowing how to handle your hygiene in the outdoors and feeling more comfortable on your outdoor adventures. And so and some of these people had probably been using a pea cloth before. So I feel like there was this segment of folks who had already been kind of warmed up to the idea, and maybe they were already doing it, just not with a Kula Cloth, with like a bandana or a piece of fabric. And so those folks right off the bat were super supportive. And then other people, I definitely got some strange looks and eye rolls and people thinking that this was a fad or kind of silly. And as time has gone on, I believe and have seen that the outdoor community has been unbelievably accepting and supportive of Kula. And I know that because it pops up in Backpacker Magazine, Outside Magazine. It's mentioned by gear review sites like Gear Junkie or Treeline Review, and organizations want to purchase it to sell on their own because they recognize the impact that it's making. I mean, even the Leave No Trace organization itself purchases Kulas because it recognizes that the product has the ability to make such an impact on folks and to help introduce them to the Leave No Trace principles. So I feel like it kind of started with this small, maybe niche segment of thru hikers who were already okay with the idea of using a pea cloth, and has sort of blossomed into this very normal piece of gear. That being said, there are definitely still naysayers, people who would just never dream of using a pea cloth. And I think that's fine. There's room for all of us.
I just got back from a backpacking trip, and there was probably about 10, 11 of us. And I started talking about the Kula cloth, and, you know, because there were some ladies that were part of the group. And, you know, there were some that had heard of it, and some were like, what? Oh, my God. Like that's such a game changer. And even to the guys, I'm like, look, you could put it on a little like retractable dilly dally and, you know, from like me that have no hair, you can wipe off your sweat and all this stuff. So yeah, we had probably about a 30-minute conversation on the Kula, and
I'm honored.
I think there was probably the majority of the people have heard of it, and the ones that didn't, they got to hear about it. So it was kind of cool.
It always surprises me who's heard of it. This is totally random, but the other day I had to call the post office because one of my packages was being held for unknown reasons. And I ended up on the phone with like a postal inspector, and I'm explaining to her like what is in the package. And I told her, you know, it's a Kula cloth. And right off the bat, she said, oh yeah, I'm familiar with that. I know what that is. And I was blown away that this person, random postal inspector, actually knew what a Kula cloth was. It's so exciting.
Nice. So, you know, you kind of talked about how Kula has kind of sparked the conversations about Leave No Trace. When did you notice that the Kula cloth started leading conversations into the Leave No Trace?
Honestly, I think right away, because we designed it to be this beautiful and intentional piece of gear that would hang off of somebody's backpack. And because most people weren't familiar with it at first, people would sort of ask other hikers, what is that? And that would almost immediately naturally open up this really effortless conversation, not only about hygiene, but also about Leave No Trace. And I felt like there was such value in that, because the tendency that some of us have is we see somebody doing something wrong, and then we want to tell them why that's wrong. And as most folks know, shame is not really like a great tactic to get compliance. So if you see somebody leaving toilet paper on the ground and then you shame them about leaving toilet paper on the ground, that's not going to make them want to leave less toilet paper on the ground. In fact, it's probably going to like harden their own, like make them become very defensive about it, and yeah, make them less open to the idea of Leave No Trace, because it's something that they were just basically embarrassed about. So Kula, why I think it leads into such a natural conversation about Leave No Trace is that it's this interesting piece of gear. It has art on it. People ask questions. Suddenly they're on the side of a trail having a conversation about hygiene. The person brings up Leave No Trace. And even if it's just a mention, maybe that's enough to get that person thinking, so that when they go home, they start doing a little bit of research. And I think what is most obvious to me now about how I know that Kula is making a difference is when I get messages from folks on our Kula Cloth website, and they will very clearly write in their order notes, I'm going on my first backpacking trip and I'm getting myself a Kula Cloth. I didn't bring toilet paper on my first backpacking trip. And so sort of having these folks who are doing research ahead of time and knowing how to handle their waste when they're in the outdoors, I feel like that is, I feel like it is making a difference, and it is having a ripple effect that I probably don't know the extent of it, but I do believe that it's happening.
It's actually, it's a movement. I think we talked about it earlier. It's absolutely a movement. And kind of speaking with your interactions with customers, how do you all educate them for a product that's so unique?
I really try to use a way of explaining Kula that is approachable. And there's sort of a methodology that is helpful for folks when explaining something. And I don't know if you've heard this before, but it's this sort of feel, felt, and found method. Or maybe I got that wrong. Maybe it's felt, feel, and found. It's one of those. But basically, you're describing how you used to feel about something. So for me, I had no education about hygiene in the backcountry. I had this sort of traumatic experience on a backpacking trip, not bringing toilet paper. And then I heard the idea of a pea cloth. And when I heard the idea of the pea cloth, it made me feel really gross at first. I was like, oh, that's disgusting. But then once I used it and tried it, this is how it made me feel. I like suddenly felt like, oh, that I had my hygiene under control. I wasn't leaving toilet paper on the ground. And so ultimately, because I tried something out, I found that this is something that I now am going to use again and again. So I really feel like leading with curiosity and also leading with my own stories of miseducation around hygiene makes me more relatable, because it's true. It's not made up or a lie. It's true. And that's something that makes people feel at ease. Like, I'm not some big expert coming in to tell you how to poop or pee in the backcountry. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a person who learned the hard way and have figured it out. And these are things that might help you. And I feel like that gets more buy-in from folks than just telling them what to do.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, when we were talking about the Kula this past weekend, I gave the story of how you kind of came into Kula Cloth. And I said that you borrowed toilet paper, not stole toilet paper.
Thank you.
I just want to throw that out there.
I borrowed a lot. I like that the story is now shifting over time. I borrowed toilet paper.
Yep, you borrowed it, and then you realize that at some point you can't borrow anymore, because then they'll notice that
they're going to notice if I keep borrowing it.
Yep. So I love this question. Do you feel that the small outdoor companies like yourself help shape the culture of the hiking and backpacking community?
Yes, absolutely. And I'll tell you why. It's because small outdoor gear companies have the ability to make quick decisions and to pivot and to respond to what the hiking community needs and wants in real time. Throughout my journey as an entrepreneur, I have had the opportunity to work with some much larger companies. Like, I'm talking billion-dollar outdoor gear companies that are owned by like 10 different parent brands. And it always amazes me when I'm speaking with some of these folks, because we'll sort of brainstorm an idea and I'm ready to go, right? Like, okay, just flip the switch. Let's get the show on the road here. And I'll come up with whatever we need to do to make this happen. And the folks who work for the really big teams, and I totally understand this, I'm not knocking it, they would sort of say, oh, we need to go back to our marketing team. And now we need to go do this. And our gear line for 2029 has been planned since like 2024. So a lot of these gear companies, because they are producing products at such high volume and because they are renting space in factories overseas, this has to be done years and years and years in advance. Whereas small companies who are oftentimes either making things in-house or domestically, I can decide tomorrow that I want to launch XYZ product. I can make it and I can probably have it on my website in a day. Yeah. And so what's really cool is that when somebody has an idea and it's a small company, we can respond in the moment. And if something is sort of trending or popular in the hiking community, we can really react to that very, very quickly. And I think that definitely influences the bigger brands, but they just aren't able to respond as quickly as we can.
I learned that in the interview I had with Ben at Hilltop Packs, and he says they're always tweaking. Like they are constantly tweaking, sharing ideas with other, you know, other companies in the outdoor space that are almost like competitors of them, making kind of the same stuff, looking at how they're doing it and stuff. And I really think if it wasn't for companies like yours, we'd be lost as a hiking and backpacking community.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we can do quick, meaningful and impactful collaborations without having to go through 20 different layers of approval. I feel like we have the ability to respond directly to what the consumer is asking us for. And it can feel in that way like more of an actual relationship, like we're listening to them. I mean, just a few months ago, I had a customer reach out to me about our snap configuration on the Kula cloth, which is something that I've wanted to improve, but didn't believe that with the current snaps that we have that we could. And a customer emailed me and said, hey, I think I might have figured this out for you. And I got on a video call with this person. She explained to me her idea. I literally made one on the phone call with her. What? So that, like, using a hand press, so that I could make sure that I could understand what she was describing to me. And as soon as I made it, I realized, like, oh my gosh, this just solved the problem that I had not been able to solve for so long, because I had been looking at it one way, but this customer suddenly had the ability to see it in a different way. And now we are in the process of, like, retooling all of our snap machines so that they can use this new snap configuration. And that's taking place in the course of months, not years. And so we're in the process of, like, shifting our whole production to, because of a suggestion from a customer. And I good luck with that with any big company. I mean, not to knock, like, some of the huge companies, but most people, when they email Nike, you know, Nike probably doesn't change their production line.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. And that ability to respond back to customers, I feel like it makes it collaborative, and I'm able to give the customers what they actually want. And that's very exciting for me.
And, you know, and also just as a customer, how special do you feel to have the owner of a company, first off, respond to you? Secondly, wow, show a value that, man, you know, let's talk about this. And that's gives me chills.
It's pretty cool. I mean, I get emails all the time from people, and it's kind of funny because they will often say, like, oh, I don't even know if Anastasia will read this. And, like, I read almost everything, you know, that comes in. And if somebody mentions me, then then it absolutely will make it to me. You know, there's just, there's not a layer in between the customer and the company, the people who are running the company. And I think that is really special and cool and gives people the opportunity to have real input in what happens next.
Oh yeah. And you know, like whenever I reached out to you all, I mean, yeah, I got feedback from you. You know, you were like, yep, I got this. Let's schedule something. And I was shocked that, wow, this is, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, you were just talking about, you got back from some events. So when you go to, like, I don't know, trade shows or outdoor events, has there ever been any kind of funny stories or skeptical moments when you're trying to explain the Kula?
Oh my gosh. Yes. and actually this last event was kind of funny. So the event that I went to in Kansas City was called the Grassroots Outdoor Alliance. And Grassroots Outdoor Alliance is basically it's a B2B, business to business show. So that means that I am hosting a booth showing Kula Cloth to the buyers from specialty retail stores. So they are deciding if they want to carry Kula Cloth in their store. And some of these folks, most of the people there had heard of Kula. Many of them were already carrying Kula. In fact, I would say most people there were already carrying Kula Cloth in their stores. Mm-hmm. But there were definitely some folks who had never heard of it. And I had this really fun idea for the show because I wanted to have an interactive element that allowed me to give away some fun swag to people who were there. So I made all of these really unique Kula cloths called intuitive Kulas. And they were just really silly designs like pine cones and lava and moss, like anything that you could think of that would be funny to wipe with. I put it on a Kula. And then when people showed up to the booth, I would ask them if they wanted an intuitive Kula reading. And I would sort of do this little vibe check thing, you know, where I'm sort of pretending to be intuiting their vibes. And then I would reach into this stump. I have this collapsible stump, reach into a stump, pull them out a Kula cloth. And then I gave them a little card that had a QR code on it. And they could go to the QR code and read about what their Kula had to say. And all the little readings were like super uplifting, really inspiring. Oh. It was very, very sweet and totally innocent. Well, I asked a woman at the show if she wanted a Kula reading. And she looked at me, and I don't know what she thought I said, but she looks at me and says, "Lord, no." And she just like ran away. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, does she think that this is like a strange religious thing? Or my other thought on this was like that she thought that I was going to be reading urine like somebody would read tea leaves at the bottom of a mug. And I was like, no. It's like this sweet, like cute, fun, innocent little thing that I'm doing to like give away swag. But she was not having it and was not interested. We had a couple other people who definitely were not super interested in the idea. And I did have a husband and wife who owned an outdoor gear store. And it was funny because the wife was just like, "We're doing this. This is an amazing idea. This is an incredible product." And the husband just sort of stood there like completely dumbfounded. No. So I feel like it runs the gamut, but most people are very open to the idea of it.
I would have to say, if you're a small business owner in the outdoor space and you don't jump on bringing in the Kula to your location, you're missing out, and that's shame on you. Because just a click of a button, you can see the impact that this company, that this product has had on our community. And yeah, I mean, you know, it's your loss.
I think that people, I feel like when I explain to people what the product is, I usually will ask them if they've heard of Gula Cloth. I'll explain that it is a leave no trace, reusable toilet paper option, pee only. And once I start, but I feel like some people hear the word reusable, they hear the word toilet paper in the same sentence, and they immediately like shut down. And they're like, yeah, oh my gosh, gross, disgusting. But if they actually took the time to sort of let the idea sit and think about how it could be useful on the trail, and that's what, that's my job at these events, is to be the person who can explain that to folks. The thing that I do like hearing is that what I hear from most outdoor stores is that when people show up to their store, they usually ask for the Gula Cloth by name because they already know what it is. And that is because we have so many people in our Gula community online and elsewhere who explain it over and over again. So by the time they make it to the store, they've already heard the idea. They aren't sort of shell-shocked by, what is this? What's it going to be like? Because the reality of the situation is that if you aren't using a Gula Cloth and you aren't using toilet paper and you're just drip drying, your underwear becomes a pee cloth. And so I always sort of ask people the questions like, which is more gross, having it on the outside of your pack or walking around in it all day?
And I think you even brought it up earlier in the episode that just infection and sanitation, I mean, that right there would want you to you know, bring on the Gula to your...
Exactly. Yeah. It makes such a tremendous difference health-wise for folks. And once those sort of wheels start turning, people kind of have, I feel like Gula is one of those products where people have kind of an aha moment where they're like, oh, I get it now. And once I can get them to that point, then they understand like why it might be a real benefit to people in their community.
Yeah. And just as an FYI, I voted for asparagus.
Oh, well, you'll be happy to know that I have.
Did we win?
I have made an asparagus Gula. And actually my husband got really excited about the idea that I had going on as I was designing this. And so it turned into a design called Asparagus Moon. So it actually appears to be, it's like a forest of asparagus with a night sky and like a giant moonrise in the upper. It's beautiful. It actually looks really good. So the winning, we did a vote, a poll on our Instagram asking what foods we should turn into a Gula Cloth. And the options, I think it was asparagus and sardines. And I ended up making three of them. I made sardines, although that one did gross me out, if I'm being honest. I made asparagus and a croissant as well. Yeah. I feel like wiping with a croissant, most people would be pretty excited about that.
Yeah. I was flaky. When I saw asparagus, I voted quick. Like, that's the one.
Yep.
I love this question. What advice, if you kind of look back at all the struggles that you've gone through, and the idea that you had and just the bravery that you had to follow through with it. Because like we talked about earlier, I mean, we all have probably some cool ideas. We talk ourselves out of it. Mm-hmm. But what advice would you give to someone who has a wild idea but is afraid to take that leap?
I would honestly say that there is no right place to start other than where you are. It'll never feel like, oh, everything's perfect and I know all the answers. And so don't wait for that moment because it's never going to come. You just have to start where you are and take one tiny, tiny little step. Like, for instance, for me, my little step was calling a friend who knew how to sew. That was a first step, right? Like, I didn't need to figure out all the logistics of running a company and starting a website and hiring employees and designing packaging and blah, blah, blah. Like, don't think about all of that. That will come with time because the process of creation is an evolutionary process. It is not like a once and done thing. And so if you have an idea, even if it seems like you can't afford it, even if it seems like you can't do it, even if you think nobody will buy it, what is one tiny, tiny little step you can take from exactly where you are? And that might be phoning a friend. It might be doing a Google search. It might be trying to make a prototype. But I feel like if you don't take that first step, you'll never take any. And if you never take any steps, then you're the one preventing yourself from moving forward, not anybody else. And I mean, I knew literally nothing about anything that I'm doing now when I started about eight or nine years ago. And I'm really glad I didn't wait for the answers to show up. I just got started. And then the answers arrive when they need to.
And I loved the answer you gave earlier when you said, when you finally made the decision and you kind of come to the reality that you're going to do this, okay, who cares if it fails? Mm-hmm. You know, at least you tried.
Yeah.
And you think about, and I always think about it, you know, I would much rather be on my deathbed with the ideas that I tried all these things, whether I succeeded or failed, than be on my deathbed and go, I wish I would have.
Yeah. Well, and like, do it as a little experiment. There's a great book called Tiny Experiments out there. And that might be a great place for some people to start, but do just get started as like a tiny little experiment and take one teeny little step every day. And you have nothing to lose because nothing exists yet, right? Like, it's just an idea in your mind. And even once you get further along, realistically, even now that I have a company, I don't really feel like I do have anything to lose because the whole process of like 8 years of doing this has given me so much that like none of that can just be like stripped away from me. Like, yes, I could, you know, physically, you know, decide to implode the company or something like that. But like the actual stuff that matters, like the really important stuff that I've picked up along the way, who I've become in the process, like nobody can take that away from me.
No. And, you know, like I always think, and not putting myself in your shoes, but just kind of reflecting, like I couldn't imagine creating something, this footprint, this product, and having such an impact on our community that like you have, like that's got to make you like kind of just pinch yourself and go, what has just happened over the last 8 years? And, you know,
it's really cool. I mean, that's an understatement. I feel too, as though because I've grown with it, it's sometimes I like forget to look at it from a distance. And, you know, it's like how parents a lot of times can't tell that their kids have grown because they see them every single day. And then, but until you look at a photo and now you're looking back at the child and you're like, whoa, they look totally different. But for instance, if I saw somebody's kid that I hadn't seen in years, and you know, that difference would be so stark to me because I haven't been seeing them every single day. And I feel like that's how it is sometimes with running a company, is that where I am now is honestly a dream of a moment that I had 8 years ago. But because I'm in it, sometimes it's like you get lost in where you are and forget to sort of take that step back and reflect on what you've accomplished. And I feel like it is important to do that, because if you don't take that step back and look, then there can often be this sense of chasing or needing the next thing, and then I'll be happy, you know, like once I hit this goal and this goal and this goal, and it's this sort of endless chase. And as you take a step back and look at where you are, I feel like that really cultivates more of a sense of gratitude as opposed to like needing things to be different. And I think that's really, really important. And I try to do that as often as I can.
Yeah, for sure. So looking at the future, what's next for Kula Cloth? Any new designs, products that you can speak of, projects, partnerships?
Oh man. So a couple years ago, I did design a pair of shorts. These are different than our pika pants. So ironically enough, pika pants are not actually pants. They're underwear. But I also designed a pair of pika shorts, which are pika like hiking shorts. And they're kind of like a baggy hiking short that I really designed for myself. And I had a group of about 30 testers testing them. Everybody loved them. And then I didn't get my act together and launch them. So I'm hoping that this is the year when I can actually get my act together and launch them. So that's something I'm excited about for next year.
Wow.
Otherwise, I have been working on developing my own fabric for Kula Cloth, which is also really exciting. This has been kind of a dream of mine since the very beginning to design something that is slightly different than what we're currently using, but like an improvement on it. And so that Wow. is nearing the end of its. Like I should have this new fabric. The fabric has been ordered. I should have it at the start of this coming new year, which is very, very exciting for me. Otherwise, we're continuing to build on some partnerships with like the Washington's National Park Fund. We're doing another round of Kulas for a Cause with them. We are kind of slowly building out our artist series and our Kulas for a Cause for next year. So I feel like the focus will likely be on our sort of, I guess I'd call it our flagship product, which is the Kula Cloth. But then we do sort of have these other products that we've designed in the interim that are also important to me. I would much rather grow vertically than horizontally. I don't want to just be one of those websites that, I mean, we have a lot of different prints of Kula Cloth, don't get me wrong, but we have a lot of different designs. But if you go to our website, the product offerings are relatively simple. It's a lot of different designs of Kula Cloths and a couple other products. I would not want to be a company that had like 50 billion different products. I like the simplicity of what we're doing. And I think people tend to be more successful when they do one thing and they do it really, really well. And that's, yeah, so we do a couple things really, really well. And I would like to stick with doing those. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
This is an interesting question for me. Like, how do you stay creative and kind of ahead of the game, but you're also on the day-to-day running a business and, you know, the volunteer work that, you know, like all this stuff, like how do you still have the, you know, make time to for the creative juices?
I feel like that's very intentional and deliberate. And I know myself well enough to know what I need in order to stay creative. And if you get lost in the day-to-day minutiae, it will shut down your creativity pretty quickly. And so I sort of ask myself, like, what is the feeling of creating something? What is the feeling of creativity? And for me, it's like this sense of freedom and fun and ease and playfulness and joy and peace and like inspiration and like we all know what it feels like when you have an idea and you just get so into it that you can't stop what you're doing because it's just so delighting. And for me to cultivate that feeling, it's intentional, because if I just sit down and stare at my emails and kind of drum away at my computer all day, I'm not on that same frequency. So I intentionally look for things that like match the feeling of creativity. So for me, that is walking outside, it's painting, it is playing my violin, it is dancing, it's meditating, it's reading a book. So intentionally including those elements of restful play in my life, those are often the first things to go. Like a lot of entrepreneurs convince themselves that they don't have time for those things anymore. And it really shuts down your own ability to look at the world in the creative way that helped you come up with the idea for your product to begin with. I mean, I came up for the idea for Coolacloth when I was in that state of mind. I was out on a hike. And so it's really important for me to stay in that state of mind as much as possible so that I can continue to be open to those ideas. And so that might look like going on a hike. It might look like taking a day off. It might look like going on a motorcycle ride. Whatever it is, I think it needs to be built into life a little bit more, because once you do start running a company, it's very, very easy to get sucked into the doing and focus less on the being. And I really believe that that's the difference between those two. Like, doing mode is great. It's getting things done, but you also need to have time for being in order to stay creative.
Nice. So what excites you most about the future?
Oh, I've just honestly, I feel lucky to wake up every day and get to do something that I love. And it's something that still brings me a lot of joy. I mean, 8 years into it, and every time we get a new box of Coolas in the mail, I still get excited to see what they look like. And I feel like I'm at a place right now where I feel very, very content. And I'm just sort of trying to enjoy where I am and feel peace with that and see what happens next, and without needing it to be any different than where I am. And I just feel really lucky that I get to know so many cool people and have a job that lets me work with my husband, work with incredible people, travel around. I mean, just to be able to take an idea from nothing and to make it into something that can literally sustain my entire livelihood is pretty remarkable and magical. And and to be able to bring that to others as well is very, very special. I just want to keep doing the best that I can for all of those people.
So what is your dream for the company in the next 5 to 10 years?
To sell it for $100 million and
every household will have 3 Coolas.
Every household. Yeah. I guess I would love for Coola to just continue to be a household name, that it's in all outdoor stores around the world. I once wrote on my whiteboard, a Coolacloth on every backpack. I mean, I just love the idea that it is a product that connects people to each other, and that it opens that conversation around leave no trace. So I just sort of feel like I'm open to whatever. I feel like Coola has a mind of its own sometimes, and I'm just kind of along for the ride. And I'm open to whatever the future holds. I know that we're going to be in some larger outdoor gear stores over the next year or so. Some of them are international, and that's really exciting for me just to like watch that growth of where the product could go. And I just feel very lucky to be able to do it. I mean, my business is a pea cloth. So like just being able to have that humor and fun in my life every day and to be able to create a product that gives people the ability to connect more deeply with themselves when they're outside, I think that's really valuable. I will say I would love over the next 5 to 10 years, if I had to actually answer your question, I would love to be able to take a little bit of a step back from running the day-to-day business and focus more on some of, you know, going to some more shows or doing more interviews or more speaking or teaching engagements. And that's something I'm really looking forward to, is getting to a point where I can kind of let Kula run on its own without me. It does better without me anyway.
All right. Next question is, to me, a dumb question because we've already talked about it a whole bunch. But do you feel Kula Cloth has become more than a product?
Yes. I do. And I guess I would want to define that by saying that it is a product that becomes a movement, is something that brings people together on the trail or wherever they are. I mean, when people see somebody else with the Kula, that's usually a conversation point. And so to me, right, like you don't see somebody else with a backpack that is the same brand as yours and necessarily say something, right? Like who cares? But when you see other people with a Kula Cloth, you often do say something to them. And so I think to me, that is the evidence that it is something more than just a product.
So if a listener walks away from this episode with only one message, what do you hope it is?
I would say for them to believe in themselves. Maybe that's not what people would expect listening to a chat about a pea cloth, but I think that Kula for me is a physical representation of something that was created at the moment when I kind of like, the idea happened maybe before I believed in myself, because it took me some time to like kind of come back to it. But I think that the birth of the product itself came from a time in my life where I really learned to trust myself and to believe in myself. And I don't necessarily recommend that everybody goes out there and starts a pea cloth company, but I feel like there's something unique for each of us. And you know, for you, Jason, it might be this podcast. For another listener, it might be an idea that they have for something else. It might not even be an idea at all. It could just be a new hobby that they want to try, or a book that they want to read, or, you know, I can't even fathom what it could be for everybody because each of us is so different. But I do believe that there is some type of really beautiful bloom that each of us can bring into the universe, and that we can do that when we really believe in ourselves. And that's what Kula has been for me. And I would be so curious to see what it is for other people. Like, what happens when you stop talking yourself out of doing the things that you really, really feel called to do?
You nailed that answer. And you know how many times that I prevented myself to hit record on this podcast, just because what are people going to say, or what, you know, is it going to suck? Is it, or lack of a better word, but you know, it's, you're absolutely right. And it took a long time for me to finally, I had the guest, I had questions, guests, and I just couldn't ever hit record. And I would not feel well knowing that I'm fixing to have to hit record. And it's not like now, you know, we're going through the podcast and I go, oh, wait, let me, you know, there's an edit. We can pause. We can, you know, there's so many things. And, but just talking myself out of just hitting that little button. And yeah,
it's amazing what we talk ourselves out of. I mean, I had ideas for literally decades and was always this person who had ideas of things that I was going to try. And I might get a little bit into it and then I'd talk myself out of it. And that is just a really exhausting process that only further amplifies our own belief that we aren't good enough to do things, because now not only do we not have anything to show for it, but like we've also quit a bunch of times too. So, you know, it's like this self-deprecating cycle that so many of us get into, myself included. And it is really, really incredible when you realize that like you can move beyond that. Like you really can.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. As we kind of start to wrap up, which I hate to say because I'm really enjoying these series, there's, you know, we kind of talked about it before we kicked off this recording, is I want the listeners to also get to know some of the other products that you offer. And for me, what I loved about your website, and you absolutely explained it a second ago, is I can go to the website and I don't feel overwhelmed. I don't feel like I'm missing out on something. Like I can click shop all. Here's a very simplistic list of everything that I can get there. It's well laid out and I don't feel that overwhelmed. And so I personally think, you know, you guys are nailing it. And I think, you know, doing something really well and not having a bazillion products is the way to go. And I can only speak, it's my experience going to the website. If I was a shopper, it was so easy just to navigate through it and see what you offered. But getting back to the question, what are some of the other products and stuff that you offer?
Well, so in addition to the Kula cloth, we have a couple other hygiene products. So we do sell a product called the Kula pocket, which is an antimicrobial bag that has a built-in pocket where you could hold a pee funnel in it or other hygiene products like a menstrual cup. And that's a really popular product. We also have sort of assembled a wilderness potty kit that has a towel in it. It has a bidet in it. I love that one. Yeah, it's basically like an all-inclusive potty kit. It's a great gift for folks who hike outside and who want basically everything that they would possibly need to go poop or pee outside. It's all in this kit. We also have some kind of quirky products on the website as well. I don't like to waste fabric, and the textile industry is notoriously wasteful with just throwing stuff out. And so I don't let that happen. And so we take a lot of our unused fabric that can't be used for kulas for whatever reason, and we've upcycled it into like smaller pouches. So we have a mini pocket. And we also carry a mouse pad, which is an actual computer mouse pad that has foam on the underside of it. It's super comfortable, but it looks like a Kula cloth just laying on your desk. It's actually kind of hilarious, but do not wipe with it. The other product that we carry on the website, which would absolutely not, you are not my target demographic for this product, Jason, is the Rapunzel Gator, which is...
That's mine.
Yeah.
I love that thing.
It's awesome. Unfortunately, you will probably never get to use it unless you buy a wig, but a very long-haired wig with pigtails. It is a patent-pending neck gaiter specifically designed for people who have long hair. And I actually designed this gaiter after going on a motorcycle ride. And on a motorcycle, you kind of tuck your neck gaiter up into your helmet because otherwise your neck is going to get cold. And then you also tuck your neck gaiter down your jacket to prevent wind from going into your jacket. And if I had my braids sticking out the bottom of the gaiter, then they would either have to get tucked into my motorcycle jacket, which is very uncomfortable, or I would sort of have to floop it up and out of the collar of my jacket, which would basically leave my neck exposed. I could not have it coming out the top of the gaiter because then I couldn't tuck the gaiter into the helmet. And so one day I thought, oh, I could just cut holes in my neck gaiter and pull my braids through it. And so I cut these holes in it, pulled my braids through, and it was like a total game changer for me. Unfortunately, when you cut holes in your gaiter, however, it leaves them open to the wind if you aren't using one of the holes. And so I had this idea to design a neck gaiter with pigtail ports that not only had holes cut in them, but also had flaps covering up the holes so that if you weren't using one of them, you aren't going to have cold air going down your neck. And so that's how I designed the Rapunzel gaiter. It took about 16 different prototypes to get it right. And it's got two pigtail ports, so you could wear pigtails, you could wear a single side braid on either side, and then it also has a back port, so you could have like a ponytail or a single braid in the back. And it is just an awesome piece of gear. Like the very first time I ever used it and zipped up my jacket and my braids were hanging out of my jacket, I finally understood why people liked neck gaiters. And if you are a long hair person, you will know exactly what I'm talking about.
I saw that video that you did talking about this product and I'm like, oh my, that's another Kula cloth and the gaiter. You've just knocked it out of the park. If you have, to the listeners, if you have long hair, I don't know how long it has to be, and you wear already any kind of the tails, pigtails, ponytails, whatever, this product, like you just said, like the Kula cloth, is an absolute game changer.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And I am saying that not only as the person who created the product, but also as an avid user of the product. And I think that's really important. Like I couldn't sell a product that I didn't get behind fully. Mm-hmm. And the Rapunzel gaiter, like I went on a motorcycle ride yesterday and used my Rapunzel gaiter because it's cold out. And if I don't use it, my neck gets cold when I'm riding. And I went on a walk early this morning in my neighborhood and I need to preface this by saying I live in the middle of the woods. There's nobody around. And I use my Kula cloth part of the way through my walk because I had to pee on the side of the trail. And like I use the products that we make almost every single day. And that just gives me more and more appreciation for them.
Yeah. So to the listeners, I don't know if your hair is 8 inches long, 10 inches long, whatever, check out that gaiter because I was watching the video and very seldom do I watch, you know, like a gear company selling a new product or talking about a new product where I'm speechless. That nailed it.
Thank you.
You nailed it.
Some of my viewers on Facebook did not feel the same way, but I'm deeply grateful for your support.
Absolutely. And I'm going to, you know, I lead hikes with the Lone Star Hiking Trail. Probably like I used to try to do, I think it's the third Saturday of the month, but not in the summertime. And so I'm starting back up now and I'm definitely going to talk about that product because we have a lot of ladies that are first time hikers that come out to the group. And that's definitely, you know, and now it's cold here in Texas, not cold like Washington, but it's cold for us.
It's more damp here.
Yeah. All right. Are you ready for the last question? This question is my absolute favorite question. It's the most important question of the podcast to me. I've asked it 3 or 4 times already in past episodes, and not once have I have me personally not teared up when I. All right. If you could step back from this Kula Cloth journey and just give one message to everybody that has supported you or believed in you, what would it be?
Now I'm going to tear up. You know, it's hard to comprehend all the people that have supported Kula, because it most certainly has not just been me. Kula, the word itself, means community. And so I think it's even more important to me to acknowledge folks who have been here, whether they've been here for 8 years or whether they've been here for a day. It's nearly impossible to say an appropriate thank you for the amount of people who have supported Kula, because it's been the most challenging thing that I've ever done, but also the most rewarding. And so I guess what I would say is that I hope that my actions, I hope that I can live the thank you. That instead of needing to go out and personally say thank you to everybody, because I couldn't, there's way too many people out there that I'd have to track down. And honestly, they'd probably get freaked out if I showed up at their door. why are you here? I just hope that my life and what I do with Kula can be a thank you. And I feel like there's no better way to live your life than to see it as a living thank you to all the people who've supported you. And I really do try to take that into consideration with everything that I do, whether that is just writing an email to a customer, or whether that is speaking out about something that matters to us. If I can really try to embody that sense of gratitude for everybody and everything that I do, then I think at the end of the day, people will know how much I care.
You know, for me, so there's a part B to this question.
Uh-oh.
But for me, the reason why I asked that question is because me as a host, I know the podcast is just the audio that gets published, but I have the pleasure to see when you guys answer these questions, the care that you have. The sense of responsibility that you have for our community, whether it's the small town where you're hiring people to, for employment, or it's our hiking, backpacking community, you all take on all this risk for others. And it's a hard question for me to ask, but to me, for my selfish reasons, it's a very, it's a gratifying engagement, I guess, if that's even the right words, but to see, I don't know where I'm going with this, but, it means a lot to me to ask that question. And it means a lot to me to hear you guys answer the question, and also to let the listeners know that you all that open these companies, it's I would say almost 100% of it is because you care. It's not to make a bazillion dollars. It's because you care.
That is definitely true. And I really just appreciate the acknowledgement and you asking the question, because there are definitely times when doing this feels like a very lonely, like, uphill battle, like, you know, where I'm even questioning, like, why the hell am I doing this? Like, I could literally just go get a job and not have to sort of ride what feels often like an emotional roller coaster at times. But it does honestly, like, feel good to have that acknowledged, because at the end of the day, it's a choice. And I could go get a job tomorrow, you know, but I don't, because I feel like this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I want to keep showing up for people and for the people who work for me and for the people in the community. And there are definitely days when it's tough to do that. But I couldn't imagine doing anything else. Yeah.
So part B of the question is the same question, and it is directed at your employees. And clearly they have an opportunity to be employed anywhere with any company, and they believe in you and they believe in Kula Cloth. So what would that message be to them?
I think I am so proud of each and every one of them, and they each bring something so unique and different to Kula. And Kula really is only what it is today because of the unique vision that each of them has contributed. And I just hope that I can do my best, right? Like, I feel like that's my job, is to just show up and do my best every single day so that they can continue to do something that they really enjoy. And I try to make Kula a fun and engaging and interesting company to work for. And, you know, not a day goes by when I take them for granted, because I definitely could not do this on my own. I mean, I have, and it was definitely not fun. I mean, Kula really is them. It's not me anymore. I might be the public figurehead behind it, but it stopped being me, I think, the first time I ever sent one out to somebody else. And that's pretty cool.
Well, that was the last question.
And I survived.
You survived. We survived the lightning round. And
I can't believe it.
And the last question. Yeah. It's funny. I always don't know how to, I feel, properly thank guests for coming on. And I think the way you answered the last question is really how I feel about you and taking the time out of your busy day with all your hats, all your responsibilities, to come on a little bitty Texas hiking podcast that's a hobby. I just feel stupid trying to put in words how grateful I am. And I thank you. And if you ever, ever have something cool with Kula Cloth and you want to come on the podcast, even if it's just 5 minutes, you have an open-ended invitation, and we will get the word out. As well as, you can ask Joe with Trekker Joe's, you can ask Ben with Hilltop Packs, Marion Outdoors, Coach. When I find a product and you get to know the people that are responsible and behind it, and you see how much they care about everything, I'll promote until my last days, my last minutes on earth.
You're hired, Jason.
Hey, if you need a ball-headed ambassador to wipe, show how you can wipe sweat off, you got it. Because, Texas heat, it hits a little bit different.
Well, I'm sending you some Texas, Trailblazing Texas podcast coolas. So you might be able to make those dreams come true.
Absolutely. Oh, and I will be promoting it. You'll get tired of Instagram.
No, I won't. I love it. And I'm honored to be here. And I really think that this is one of my favorite interviews I've had. And it's just been such a lovely conversation. And I just am glad you decided to press record.
Yeah. Thank you. God. All right. Well, I hope you have a wonderful.
Oh, it's wonderful. What a great cathartic conversation. So much fun.
And I'll Venmo you that $20 I said if you said positive things about the podcast.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. Please send that on over.
Yeah. All right. You have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Jason.
Bye.
Bye.
And that wraps up another exciting episode of the Trailblazing Texas podcast. We hope you enjoyed the episode today and stay tuned for our next episode where we will pick back up where we left off and guarantee to uncover many more hiking gems and share many more tips to enhance your experience on the trail. Until then, happy trails and happy hiking.